Lecture topic, The Muslim Educator, Part A.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa bihi nasta'een, wa usalli wa usallim ala khatamil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, nabiyyina wa habibina wa qudwatina wa imamina Muhammad ibn Abdillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'een. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Greetings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'na wa anfa'na bima allamtana. O Allah, grant us knowledge that is beneficial and benefit us from the knowledge that you have granted us. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa' wa min aynin la tadma' wa min qalbin la yakhsha' wa min batnin la yashba' wa min du'a'in la yusma'. O Allah, we seek protection from knowledge that is of no use. And we seek protection from eyes that will not cry for your sake. We seek your protection from a heart that will not fear you. We seek your protection from a stomach and a soul that will not be filled and content. And lastly, we seek your protection from a dua that we make to you that you do not answer. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها المدثر قم فأنذر صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared in the Quran in Surah Al-Muddathir, He says, O you who are or who is enveloped in garments or in a garment, get up and warn. Indeed, Allah has spoken the truth. We have today a great task that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on our shoulders. The one who runs away from this task that Allah has placed squarely on his or her shoulders is a loser. I wish to use the few minutes today and inshallah the next few days to give us the hope and encouragement to prove to one and all that what we are doing is indeed the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, some of us, most of us, almost all of us need attention. The level of attention we need with ourselves differs from person to person. But that does not mean that the responsibility and the leadership that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided that will be on your shoulders must be a point of depression for you or against you. I say this because take a look at the first verses that were revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam came to a man sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That man was in the cave of Hira. What was he doing there? He was thinking of the difficulties of society, the problems being faced by the community at large. That time there were no Muslims. Islam was not even there. He was thinking of all the different problems and solutions to those problems, meditating. From this, we learn that for us to sit down and ponder over the difficulties not facing only the Muslims, but humanity at large is in fact something that is called for. It is an act of merit and reward. We should understand that it is only then that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through Jibreel alayhi salam the verses. The first verse we all know and we all mention, especially in this field of ours. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. He started off by saying read, and we all know the response came, I am not a reader. It happens to us. Allah places something, a duty on your shoulders, and you excuse yourself. No, don't do that. It is a duty on your shoulders that Allah has placed, both male and female. If you run away from it, yes, your modesty might make you utter a statement or two that we are not fit for that post. But remember the duty that Allah has placed on your shoulders. He has chosen you for something. I am standing in front of you today knowing very well that most of you are more professional than myself. But it is my duty to get up when I am called upon and say the name of Allah and continue. By the help of Allah, I will be able inshallah to deliver a message, not by my merit and my goodness. The same applies to you as leaders, teachers, principals or what have you. It is not your intellect that will lead you anywhere, but the tawfiq and the assistance of Allah and acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow you to use a little bit of what He has given you in the first place to serve this deen of His. That is the point we learn from the opening verse of the Quran. Or should I say the opening verses of Revelation. He said, "Ma ana biqari," I am not a reader. He was truthful. He could not read or write. He took it in the literal sense. But remember, reading is not only to read from a book, A, B and C. And this is why the role of a teacher is not only to teach people and the children A, B, C how to read and write and become big doctors and lawyers. That is part of the deal. But more than that is to ensure the correct development and character and conduct of a child as an amana and a trust. Someone that has been placed under your guardianship temporarily. Someone who respects you mostly more than they would respect their own parents. It is a fact. And for this reason, we all respect Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anyone else. We love him more than anything and anyone else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he taught us goodness. That is where we get it from. You teach someone goodness, wallahi, they will never forget you. I had a teacher of mine who taught me when I was in grade 6, I recall. It was a government school. And years later, when I graduated, I heard, unfortunately, he had the AIDS disease. And I used to visit him once a week in the hospital. So much so that I invited him to Islam. And he almost uttered the Shahada. But unfortunately he passed away. I cannot guarantee that he uttered it or he did not. That's between him and Allah. But the effort was made. Yes, I felt, inshallah, I fulfilled a little bit of my duty towards someone who has taught me something. Why did I respect this man, though he was of a different religion? Because he taught me a thing or two. And where did I learn that from? Muallimin nas al-khair. Let me take you to the Battle of Badr. After the battle, they were criminals of war. I wouldn't like to say prisoners of war, but criminals of war who happened to be imprisoned from the other side. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually said, any one of you who teaches 10 of our Muslim children to read and write, we will free you. My dear brothers and sisters who are seated here, allow me to address you as brothers and sisters. Wallahi, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that those kuffar, think carefully, analyze that very incident in the history of Islam. Very important. The kuffar were freed because they taught 10 Muslims how to read and write. Insha'Allah, do you not have hope that Allah will free you from the fire of Jahannam just because you have taught a classroom full of children how to read and write? Allahu Akbar. Wallahi, it humbles me to think of the fact that Allah has chosen us for a mission. And Allah has chosen us above others in this regard. May Allah make us good examples. Yes, we feel at times we are not leaders, but let me take you further the verses I was reading. What happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, "Ma ana biqari," I'm not a reader. And thereafter, the statement was repeated. Try again, subhanallah. Iqra, read, I'm not a reader. A third time, read. And then what happened? The rest of the verse was revealed to him. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Khalaqa al-insana min 'alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi 'allama bil-qalam. 'Allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. I'm sure we know the meanings of these verses. Read by the name and in the name of your Rabb. This means that if you feel you are not a leader in your society, in your classroom at least, then utter the words of Allah before every lesson. Bismillah. Ya Allah, I am not fit for this mission you have placed on my shoulders, but I will do it because you have required it from me. You have placed it on my shoulders, and I will start with your name in the same way that you have created man knowing nothing. And thereafter, as man developed, meaning when a child is born, they know nothing. And as they develop, they learn a thing or two, you have allowed us to learn a thing or two, we will teach whatever we know, so long as it is goodness. مُعَلِّمِ النَّاسِ الْخَيْرِ مُعَلِّمِ الْبَشَرِيَّةِ الْخَيْرِ The one who teaches goodness to humanity at large, not necessarily Muslims alone, the one who teaches goodness to mankind at large, subhanallah, a great and abundant reward has been written already for that person. So we will start with the name of Allah, though we might feel that we are not fit for the post. And that is why, and I'm honest with you, I am standing here. I know for a fact, as I said, that there are people who are more professional, more deserving. But if Allah, and I swear to you, I am sharing to you a few of my inner secrets. They are not secrets, but they are points which we don't normally share with others. When I get up, and I'm sharing it with you so we can learn a thing or two, is this not a conference of learning? I mentioned the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, insha'Allah, trying to be as sincere as possible to Allah, not intending to be praised by people, no ways. Not intending to go behind a salary that might be part of the dunya that Allah has given you, but that must not be your aim. وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا Dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah, help us so that we can live our lives in such a way that the dunya does not become our main aim in life. And it does not become the height of our education. We are only learning for dunya. This is why I said moments ago, big doctors, lawyers, accountants, we need them. But what is the use of a doctor and an accountant who is arrogant, proud? He comes across as a very big problem in society and he has no Islamic akhlaq. So it starts, akhlaq meaning character, for those who may not actually know Arabic. It starts with primary school. It goes up, in fact, even before primary school. I remember when I was invited to the talk here in Durban some time back, and I said it starts in the womb of the mother. Wallahi, it does. Wallahi, I swear to you, it does. It starts in the womb. If you listen to music, your child will be like that. You listen to Quran, your child will be like that. You become conscious of your do's and don'ts, the child will also be conscious, inshallah. So, who is going to deliver this message to the mothers? Let me tell you, mothers are mothers, but they were babies at one stage. And someone somewhere taught them something. If Allah has placed you in a school where you have girls, the girl child, and we are speaking about girls, but boys in another field, they also need to be reminded of different things. It starts from that point. So Allah has chosen us for this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the acceptance. So, primary school, secondary school, thereafter, we go on to university and so on and so forth. If your foundation is sound, I tell you, I have come across so many people. Those who are professionals, many a times you can actually feel this person from when they were children, they were very, very polite, their character was exemplary, they were good students, they did not have bad company, so on and so forth. It's our duty to now help the children in this regard. Positive assisting. And it is a duty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on our shoulders. Today I wish to go through more of the beginning of Islam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already on his shoulders, placed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a mission which initially he actually said, Ma ana biqari, I am not a reader. But he was told to do it in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he succeeded, subhanallah. He transformed not just society but the whole world in a short space of time. Do we not agree? So the theme, mashallah, mubarak to those who have chosen this theme. Congratulations, may Allah make this a conference with a difference. May we transform ourselves and may Allah use us to transform others. What is the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allahumma ahdina wahdi bina waj'alna sababan liman ihtadayta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Oh Allah, guide us. What is guidance? Is it not transformation to the right path? Guide us, transform us to the right path and help us to transform others. Guide through us. Allah has already placed you one step above the others. You are already given the platform of helping others to the right path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us practical ourselves. And inshallah I will speak about that tomorrow, if Allah gives us life to be there. So the message here is, look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beginning. There was a period of time known as ad-da'watu sirriya, where the mission of Islam, the mission of transforming the entire world, had to begin somewhere. It started with a little step. What was that step? That step was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to warn those, or to give the message of goodness and Islam to those, the immediate circle around him, his wife, his family members, so on and so forth. It was kept low. It reminds me of the beginning of the Muslim schools, and I'm taking it straight there, and I want to make a similarity between this and that, inshallah. I told you to give us hope and courage, inshallah. A long time ago in the 1800s, did anyone think of Muslim schools? Well, one might say yes, there might have been a few. But were they able to implement anything? No, the forces that were at the time were more so warped and lopsided, either colonial or so on and so forth. I hope we understand what is being said. So therefore, people were worried about shifting from this region to that region in order to run away from certain situations, either economic, so on and so forth, looking for dunya. And then when we found our communities and societies all over the world, mainly ethnic Indo-Pak and other Muslim minorities, we found initially we were not worried about the schools, because we had our deen which we came with. And our children knew the language that we spoke, and our forefathers spoke. I'm saying our children, like I'm one of them, yet I'm far down the line. So what it is, what if we think for a moment, what happened at that time was, initially we had to build our own economy, or should I say the little nuclear economy of the home, where you would go out to look for a job or a little business. Some, I know, humble beginnings of selling fruits and vegetables, walking many kilometers in order to just earn a little living. But the deen was there, they used to teach their own children, so on and so forth. Masajid were established, madaris were established. So we found that secular education was divorced from Islamic education. And at that time it was right, because we had to prioritize, and I always believe we must know the priorities. And before I even go further, one point I have to mention. In fact, I will divert a little bit to mention it and come back, inshallah, on course. That is, remember, we respect all the work of deen. Anyone who is doing anything in any way to serve Islam and the Muslims, or to serve the cause of Islam, even with the non-Muslims, we support them. It is our duty to be part of them, but because we are weak, we can only do one or two or three things maximum. We need to support, whether it is those who build the masajid, those who are imams in the masajid, those lecturing in the masajid. That is as far as the masajid go. You could actually go further. Those who have madaris, madrasas, whether it is a maktab, a little alif and ba that they teach, we support them. And we will not, harm will not reach them from us. Similarly, take the madaris a little bit higher, you get the Darul Ulooms. We support them wholly. And we should understand, harm must not reach them from us. Why? We expect them to support us as well. This is how Islam will work and operate. And we must regard ourselves as part and parcel of the same thing. Whether it is the work of Jamaat, whether it is the work of someone who is building masajid, madaris, someone who is reaching out to the poor in one way or another, someone who is distributing pamphlets, someone who is going out in the path of Allah for the greater jihad. We support all of them. That is the brotherhood of Islam. If people do not support you, don't worry. I want to mention a famous saying of Maulana Ilyas rahmatullahi alayh. He says, when there is a crooked line, or in fact, there are two of the statements. When there is a line drawn, and someone asks you, make it short, but don't touch it. What are you going to do? Make it short, but don't touch it. Now you see this line, let's say it's a blackboard. There is a line, and you're looking, you tell your children, make this line short, but don't touch it. I don't think anyone is going to actually be able to make it short without touching, because you've got to take a duster and rub off a little bit, and now they can say it's shorter. But Maulana Ilyas rahmatullah alayh was trying to explain the work of deen. And he says, what you've got to do next to it, take a chalk and draw a longer line. Everyone will look and say, that's a short one, that's a long one. Subhanallah. The same applies to a crooked line. Don't waste your time telling the world, this is crooked, this is crooked. You have lost focus. You are focused. Remain focused. Walk on the straight path. If there are crooked lines, people will see your straight line and they will understand that one is crooked and this one is straight. That is the message here. But our problem is we are losing focus because we have turned the other direction. And we are saying, these people are wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. It's time we looked at ourselves, transform ourselves, and society, inshallah, will be assisted by the power of Allah through us. So that was the little diversion that we actually needed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the strength. I was saying this call that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started with was in a circle. And it reminds us of when the Muslim schools were initially established a long time ago. Before their establishment, there was a period when people didn't even think about it because they were segregated, separated, they had their own madaris, etc. And I mentioned moments ago, the education was divorced, secular and Islamic. So much so that some people actually mentioned that it is contradictory. In some subjects, contradictory. So what happened as time passed and population exploded, or should I say grew? The need was, and very correctly, the need was felt for the establishment of Islamic schools with the idea of marrying the two. Now we all know a person does not marry when he's born, but he marries when he is 20, 25. So initially they did not see. If you ask a youngster who's 10 years old, do you want to marry? He'll probably look at you and go red. But you ask a person who's 35, you want to marry? He'll say, I'm married, but I can marry again. Subhanallah. So what has happened is, they married the two, secular and religious, in such a way that the framework set by the Sharia must not be compromised. Initially, the teething problems were there. And still, when you are establishing a Muslim school, there will be teething problems. When some people come and see those teething problems, they will say, you know what, this is not a Muslim school. But you know, don't lose focus because of a statement or two. You know that if we start, that is when we are going to get there. But if we lose hope because of the adverse comments of those who might not see the light at the end of the tunnel, those who don't even know the tunnel exists at times, what happens? We will never achieve what we want to achieve. So remain focused, have courage, have hope, be strong, and carry on. That is what the fathers of the Muslim schools have done. May Allah grant them a great reward. So where we found that now children were beginning to feel there is a conflict between the two, we married them within the framework of the Sharia. To this day, I firmly believe we are still in the development stage, but advanced development. Depending on how old the school is, I know we have some Muslim schools in Zimbabwe, in fact two that I know of. One is the Ridgeview School, known as. The other one is in the Darul Uloom, we have an Iqra Academy. It's actually an academy that is connected to the Darul Uloom because we felt that it was only correct to have ulama who have a minimum of matric, just so that we can be in touch with the times. And so that they don't feel an inferiority complex. When we speak to others, we must know this is an alim, but he's also educated. He has a degree at the same time, and he might even have a PhD, as is now encouraged in the UK. The Darul Ulooms in England are encouraging. In fact, they also have gone to certain universities, and they have like an agreement to say that once a person graduates as an alim, he can come get his honors in a year and go further for his MA and so on. Alhamdulillah, it creates an impact. It makes a person feel that he has both types of qualifications. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qualify us on the day of Qiyamah. So when the schools began, alhamdulillah, it was the beginning. It reminds me of this da'wah to Sirriya, where we had a school. We were worried about the children. We were worried about ourselves, how we used to dress. You know, I tell you, the ladies in hijab and the men who have beards and so on and who have Islamic dressing and so on and so forth. Today in the world, let me give you good news. Never ever in the past has there been this number of people who make sujood for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never. How many people make sajda for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today? A billion? 1.5 billion? Was there ever in history this number? Tell me. How many women wear hijab? Was there ever in history this number? How many men appear as Muslims? Subhanallah. We need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. But together with the outward, we need to develop the inside as well. It would be hypocritical to develop one and leave the other. So we are better off than the time when these schools began, because at that time some people might not have wanted to even wear a scarf on their heads. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the power to understand and be convinced that this is what is right, in such a manner that we do it and others learn from us. And when we get to the day of Qiyamah, if at least 10 people were guided, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you Jannah, if I can say, for free. Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant that to us. So Alhamdulillah, it developed. Then if we take a look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to take it to the next stage. And he called all the people, Mount Safa, and he actually warned them wholesale. Why? Because there is a time when you will develop and build and it will remain within a certain circle. Thereafter, Islam teaches you to develop from the cradle to the grave. You cannot just remain on the same level. The hadith says, whomsoever his 2 days are the same, bad news to him, and good news to the one whom his 2 days, meaning the next day, is better than the previous one. If your 2 days are equal, bad news to you. That means you did not develop as insan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from you that you do whatever is in your capacity to develop in one way or another. You must be able to say, no, today I am better off than I was yesterday. Whether it is spiritual, whether it is secular, whatever it is, but in a positive way, not in a negative way. So it developed, and he called the people to the Mount Safa. He was a very, very, and tomorrow we will study who he was. He was a very polite man. His character was perfect. Everything he did was an act of worship, to be honest. And he was so polite to the Muslims and the non-Muslims, male and female. There is an incident of a female where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not one, many incidents, where they accepted Islam. If Allah gives us life and the memory, I will try and mention it tomorrow. Where she accepted Islam as a result of his good attitude towards her, and she was swearing him in the process. But when she realized this man is the man I'm talking about, she accepted Islam. Now today, are we that example? We need to transform ourselves and at the same time take the message further and make that circle larger according to the capacity granted to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Allah. Do not think that there is a task too big for you to accomplish. You would like to do something, believe me, if you are dedicated and your mind has been tuned in the right manner, you will achieve whatever you want to achieve. Every one of us. If he can do it, why can't I? I've got 2 eyes, a nose, everything. I also breathe. Subhanallah. You also breathe. So there is a problem within the Muslims that sometimes we feel we cannot achieve it just because I am in niqab. I can't achieve this and that. Yes, there are limits of the sharia. Within those limits, we can achieve everything. Everything. And we can achieve success. Take a look at Aisha radiallahu anha. Her life is an example. We would need days to go through the life of Aisha radiallahu anha. And I'm calling you to open and read. What did she achieve? She was respected by everyone at the time. So we need to do what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. There was a certain period when he was concerned about the circle, like we are concerned about the schools and the discipline. The problem with Muslim schools at times, we have rules and regulations governing the discipline, but we fail in implementation. That is a problem. So we need to look at that. And once we have solidified a little bit of this, we need to broaden the circle, as was very correctly mentioned before I spoke, that we need to interact with the others. Is Islam just for me? What is the point? What is the aim of a Muslim school? It is not to create Muslims who divorce themselves from non-Muslims. No ways. But to create Muslims who can invite others to Islam just by the smile on their faces. You know, you see someone, how was your day? Do you know that is an ibadah? Have a nice day, smile. Is it haram to say that? Tell me. Is it haram to tell someone that? Yes, if you have the wrong underlying intention, Allah will govern and rule. I see some of us are already smiling. But if you have the correct intention, no purpose, I told you sincerely for Allah, wallahi, Allah will grant us success in the dunya and the akhirah. And He will use us, and you will see people changing because of a statement or two of yours. Subhanallah. And that is very scary. Believe me, because it makes you worry about yourself to say, hey, Allah is using me to do this. Am I even worth it? But Allah is still using me, so surely I should transform myself. You know, a teacher needs to be an example. The way you talk, the way you walk, the way you look, the way everything, inshallah, tomorrow, we will go into that individual rectification. But we will not be able to broaden this circle until and unless we realize that we have to do it as a duty. I suggest, and these are just suggestions, you know, we have clubs in our schools, clubs of different you know, you have a debating club, you have a speech club, or what have you, whatever. Different schools have different clubs within the limits of Islam, inshallah. And we have sports. In the Muslim schools, inshallah, we have sports within the limits of Islam. The dress code, everything, mashallah, inshallah, is within the limits. If not, those are teething problems which we need to address. And thereafter, you need to, as was mentioned, pair yourself with a school. If not one school, at least maybe the teachers or the teacher in charge of a certain sport can visit the next door school, and the poorer schools, the non-Muslim schools, the black schools, so to speak. That's what some people refer to them as, though I feel that it is actually understood in that way, but we need to select better terminology for that. And we need to maybe interact with them on a club level. A few of our children can go, boys and girls, within the limits of Islam. And when I say this, I'm sure we know what I'm speaking about. Within the limits. So, when they see our girls, we will not go and debate with them day one. You people are this and we are that. And you are wrong because of that. I told you, that means you are losing focus now. You are now showing a person that, hey, this is a crooked line. You draw the straight line. How do we draw it? We will go out, we will be so exemplary that themselves, they will say, why are you covered in this way? What? And let our girls answer to their girls without even the involvement of the teachers. Now, don't you think that we will have contributed somehow in a little bit of transformation in one way or another, if not fully, then partially? Why? Because we have trained our children, and now it is high time the others see the light. I swear to you, I have studied lots of religions. There are no religions which regard it as an act of worship to smile. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Tabassumuka fi wajhi akhika sadaqa." To smile on the face of a Muslim brother is sadaqah. What is a sadaqah? An act of worship. A great act of worship. Which religion teaches you how to smile, how to talk, how to walk, how to do business? So we need to share this goodness. We must not be stingy with Islam. Share it with the others. The way to do it, at times if I go and give a lecture at a non-Muslim school, if we refer to it that way, they will know that this man is one of the big shots there in the Muslims, and he's come here to convert us. It happened to me in Zimbabwe. After September 11, I was invited to a Christian girls' school, which is one of the top schools of the country, known as the Dominican Convent. And what had happened is, we had a mashwara in the ulama. We have mashwara every Wednesday. Why? Because we want everyone to know what is going on. And I put forward, listen, I've been invited. It was easy for me to say I've accepted it, but I didn't do that because I wanted to hold everyone together. Just now they hear this mufti has gone to a girls' school to address the girls. There is a problem. So, mashwara, and we decided that, okay, you will go within the limits. We know our limits. You see, hijab is an obligation for both, male and female, but it differs from male and female. We have our duty, they have their duty, and we know it. So, that must not stop you from conveying the message of Islam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was faced with people naked around the Kaaba, he looked down and he said, "Ayyuha an-nas, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu." Oh people, say la ilaha illallah and you will succeed. Subhanallah. So, we decided, and it was decided, okay, go. They invited me for 3 sessions, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. I went for 1 session. They told me, "Why do you have a beard?" And Allah opened the doors. Remember, I tell you, when you do something for the sake of Allah, bear Him in mind. You're not trying to impress people. Your aim is not even to convert, but to deliver the message. That conversion is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I looked up, and to be honest with you, I didn't know what to say. But within split seconds, I saw a portrait of so-called Isa alayhi salatu wasalam that they drew themselves on the cross. There in front of me, on the side, another picture, and third, another picture, and he looked just like me. And I said, subhanallah. And I looked, and I said, "Do you know what? Who drew these?" They say, "Well, that's Jesus." I said, "Well, I want to look like him." I did not raise Quran or Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They told me, "Why are you wearing a robe?" I said, "Have you ever drawn Jesus with a suit?" "You haven't." So that is it. And he has a robe, and he had a beard. And in fact, I even shared with them that sometimes the street kids call me Jesu, which in Shona means Jesus. And I actually had one young girl when I went to one lake. A young girl, she looked at her mother and looked at me and said, "Has God come?" And I was thinking, subhanallah, it's a fact. I am sharing this with you today to show you that we are practical. in our approach. And I said, then they asked me, why do your women have to dress like this? And I said, well, there is Mother Mary at the back, Maryam alayha salatu wasalam. She always has something on her head and she always wears long. So, in short, every answer I gave to them that day was from their own beliefs. You know what? The lady who was responsible cancelled the next 2 days. No, we've got sporting commitments, so on and so forth. Because there were people, the children of ambassadors, the girls, who were showing an interest in Islam, and they were looking at each other and saying, but we thought Islam was a satanic religion. So that is what they're doing. We are known as terrorists. We are the furthest. But why? Because we need to transform ourselves and we need to share with the rest of the world. You know, as a bearded person, as a woman in hijab, if you look at a non-Muslim, generally of the same sex, and you would actually smile at them and say, how's your day been? If you've had, you know, like you go to a shop or a pharmacy, so on and so forth, have a nice day. See, they will think, hey, but these people are supposed to be rude. They're supposed to be arrogant. And look at this person. We need to effect that change. You've got a big beard with a big turban, and you go to them and you say, how are you doing? How's your children? They say, yeah, they're fine. And they might even ask you, how are yours? You know, but that breaks the ice. You have delivered the message of Islam. What message was it? Very indirect. Islam is the best religion. The best religion. So the message here today, I see I'm running out of time, which is usual and normal, is the message today is we need to firstly thank Allah that we have been granted this topic and this theme. Secondly, understand the theme, understand the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's try and adopt his sunnah as far as possible. Everyone is on a different level. Try and get to the next level. So by the time we end this conference, at least we must be, you know, the ladder of spirituality, if it has 100 steps on it, if we were sitting at 49, by the time we finish the conference, if we have got to 50, wallahi, we've achieved a lot. We've achieved a lot, inshallah. So with that aim, inshallah, let us begin this particular or these discussions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us success. We ask him to grant us, inshallah, obedience, and to give us the tawfiq and acceptance to touch those topics which are really and truly needed in society and within ourselves, to be able to interact with the non-Muslims in ways that are permissible within the limits of the Sharia. May Allah grant that all to us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us together in Jannah the same way he has gathered us here today. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad wa sallamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.